Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 3. In verse 2, after Eve was first addressed by the serpent who was indwelled by the devil, and he said to her, "Does it make any sense to you, Eve," in the original language, "that you should be able to eat from any tree of the garden, but not from the best one?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." "Neither shall you touch it" was Eve's own construct. We're not going to really dwell on that, but for those people who may not know on the internet where that came from, in Ezekiel 31, the trees were representative of angels. For every tree that was in the garden, and these were real trees, there was also an associated angel. And so she admired, and this is what she was revealing here, the holiness of angels. Because a holy angel, having a standard of holiness as an angel in Revelation 4:8, a holy angel would never touch Satan's tree. The angels that fell, they were the ones who got involved with Satan's tree, if you will. But the holy angels wouldn't even touch it. They wouldn't answer the question. The holy angels, just like Jude tells us, when Michael contended with the devil, his response to the devil was, "The Lord rebuke you." The holy angels that didn't fall said, "The Lord rebuke you." Everybody else fell. The holy angels would never touch Satan's tree. And Eve admired this holiness in the angels, and so she desired to have that as part of her own life, part of her own thinking. And so she said, "We are not to eat of it." That is correct. That's what God said. And then she said, "We are not to touch it." But really, that was more for the angels, not for people. Human standard is not holiness. Human standard is grace. Now, she revealed that, and therefore the enemy knew how he could attack her when he said, "You'll be as gods," plural, that's talking about angels. Now, here's the thing with this. Why did Eve want to be like the angels? It's one thing to admire something. It's another thing to want to be like the one who possesses it. I admire, for example, people's ability to sing if they have a beautiful voice. But I wouldn't want to be like them. And that's not judging them. Some of them are wonderful Christians. Some of them are wonderful people. But I just wouldn't want to be like them. Because each person has their own gift. Each person has their own call. Each person has their own portion. So while I may admire their wonderful ability to sing with a beautiful voice, and it is edifying, I wouldn't want to be like them. I don't crave their gift. I enjoy their gift, but I don't crave their gift. Eve had a problem here. She was starting to want their holiness. And the reason why is because she was not content with the simple gospel. She was made by hand by God. She was not even made of dirt. She was made of that which was living. She was made by hand, by God, with specific purpose. That was incredibly unique. That was incredible in every way. Everything about her design, everything about her structure, everything about her purpose, everything about this person was uniquely designed by God to meet very specific outcomes. But Eve was not content with the simplicity of this. When a person is not content with the simple gospel, that's where they give the enemy room. And that's what happened to Eve. She was not content with the simple relationship she had with her husband, with the simple relationship she had with God, and with the simple relationship she had with the angels. By saying simple, I'm not saying trivial. I'm not saying meaningless. I'm not saying without purpose. I'm saying it was uncomplicated. It was straightforward. It was easy. It was already in place. There was nothing but simplicity for her to enter into the fullness and the complete benefit of these relationships. It was simple. The gospel is like that too. The gospel is simple. There's nothing complex, there's nothing difficult about the gospel. There are groups out there that don't like that. They say, well, you're talking about easy believism. You're talking about cheap grace. I'm talking about what I realize from the Bible. You don't know what you're talking about if you're calling it easy believism and cheap grace. You don't understand faith and you don't understand what grace actually is. You see grace in one dimension when it actually has three. I'll let you figure that out. Everything about the gospel is simple. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't ask us to do anything about it except to receive him, to believe him. He's the one who initiated the plan. We receive the plan. He's the one who gives love. We receive the love. He's the one who gives redemption. We simply receive the redemption. He's the one who gives grace. We receive grace. He's the one who initiates mercy. We respond to it. Everything about God, everything about our relationship to God, everything about the gospel is absolutely simple. If it's complicated, you're doing it wrong. If it's complicated, it means that your old sin nature is trying to get in the way. But in reality, it's a very simple gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, and this is what Eve forgot, or maybe she never really focused on it. By the grace of God, I am what I am. It's that simple. How many people like Eve think to themselves, I should be more, I should be better, I should be different? I should be able. That's a very common thought. I see someone and I'm admiring them, and in secret, perhaps without even realizing it, I'm comparing myself to them. I should be more like that one. Why can't I be more like this? Why can't I have these characteristics? Well, I am what I am by the grace of God. Sometimes people see that as kind of like a consolation statement. Well, yeah, I'm a mess, but I am what I am by the grace of God. Don't you realize that by the grace of God you live? Don't you realize that by the grace of God you were created in the first place? Don't you realize that by the grace of God Christ went to the cross for you? Don't you realize that by the grace of God is the fullness of the eternal plan of God? I am what I am by the grace of God simply means that God's grace has taken over my life to bring forth the fullness of the will and the plan of God, of the purpose of God, of the calling of God. Everything about my life is that simple. God brought it, I received it. That's the simple gospel. God brought it, I received it. When Paul is saying, I am what I am by the grace of God, it's not a consolation prize, it's the reality of the purpose. I am what I am by the grace of God. And then he says, and his grace toward me was not in vain. The grace of God toward a believer is effectual. It's not like, oh, I don't know what else to do with him, I guess I'll just give him grace. No, it starts with grace and everything else follows. That is the kingdom of God. Remember, it's a throne of grace. That means you have an entire government, an entire kingdom in this grace. You could just as easily say, I am what I am by the entirety of the kingdom of God. But it's easier to say, I am what I am by the grace of God. But that means the same thing. We have this enormous kingdom. We have this enormous God. We have this enormous love that He pours out on us. We have this enormous reconciliation to Him. We have this enormous forgiveness for all sin because the blood of Christ removes it. We have this enormous provision from God, and all we need to do is say, yes, God. It's that simple. It's a very simple gospel. And then God giving that grace is not an empty, futile exercise. Then God giving that grace is all the power and authority of the kingdom of God going forward to bring me into the very purpose that God had foreordained. But the way that we enter into it is a very simple way. In Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There are some people who are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Sometimes people say, I would never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. When's the last time you handed out a tract? If you feel that little uneasiness, no, I don't want to go on outreach and talk to people I don't know about Jesus. That's a little bit embarrassing. They're going to think I'm weird. All right, well, right now, God thinks you're weird. Because you're ashamed of the very thing that is the salvation of your soul. I'm kind of embarrassed by the fact that I'm not going to go to hell. That's weird. I'm a little too embarrassed to tell that person their house is on fire. That's also weird and kind of cruel. You see, it's all very simple, but self gets in the way of simplicity. Why do people get impatient? Why do people get frustrated? Why do people get angry? Why do people get unkind? Why do people get cruel? Why do people get nasty? Why do people get selfish? Why do people get jealous or envious? Why does all this stuff take place? Because they abandon the simplicity of the gospel in favor of trying to promote self in some area of their life. Self doesn't do us any favors. Self is what removed us from God. Self is what made us guilty and afraid and ashamed. Self got Adam and Eve kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Self is why the fall of humanity happened. For that matter, wars today. What's going on in Ukraine? Because some guy decided he was going to be more concerned about self and his own reputation or his own legacy or whatever it is that he's actually after. And he went to war with people who were not threatening him. And even if they were threatening him, what threat could they have been? There's nothing to it but self. Why did World War II happen? Because one guy was thinking self. That's it right there. That's where it started. One guy was thinking self. You see, they left the simplicity of the gospel. Self got in the way, and everything got totally mixed up. For in the gospel, it continues there in verse 16, is the power of God to salvation to everyone believing. The gospel is extremely simple and extraordinarily powerful. It is the power of God unto salvation. Think about what that's saying. It is the power of God to completely recreate, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, an individual who was, by their very nature, in complete separation from God. And it can recreate that individual. In verse 17, for in it, that is to say the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Even as it has been written, the just shall live by faith. It's a very simple gospel. You simply trust what God said. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not out to pull a fast one on you. He's not joking when he says things. He didn't give almost 9,000 promises because he thought it would be funny. No, God is for real. Everything in science, everything in physics, everything in biology tells us God is for real. You get these evolutionists nowadays, even evolution is under fire by the trans crowd. Okay, tell me how that one survived evolution then. Everything from God is real. If you don't believe it, tell me, how did people reproduce? Since evolution, by definition, requires reproduction to happen, if it were real. But talk to any evolutionary biologist and they'll tell you that's the crux of evolution is reproduction, because it's populations that they say evolve. Do I believe in evolution? Macroevolution is a joke. But if you believe it, then how did reproduction come about? Because reproduction is a highly complex process, even in its simplest form, and yet it's required for any evolution to take place according to evolutionary theory. So how did this happen? Now, simple faith is much more effective in explaining the ways and the things of the world than science falsely so-called. As Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6. Simple faith. You live by believing what God said. You let that become your standard. It's simple. But what if it doesn't work? It's never failed. That would be the first time in eternity and in history when it has failed, if it failed you. But by the way, it can't fail. Because God is truth. His word in John 17:17 is truth. It can't fail. It's reality. Simple faith in that which is real. That's all it's saying. The word of God is truth. Simple faith in truth. Simple faith in that which is real. It's very simple gospel. Our lives can be so simple. People get anxious. What am I going to do tomorrow? Where are we going to live? How are we going to eat? What is the solution to the problem? What's going on? How do I deal with this? Just believe God. Oh, by the way, stay out of the way. Don't get self-oriented. Don't start putting yourself as the center of the universe. By the way, the universe still really does not revolve around any one human being, including you, including me. As many people have thought that it did, it still doesn't. Simple faith. That's it right there. Simple faith, simple trust. Get out of the way. Trust God. But what about me? Don't worry about you. God's got you taken care of. Trust Him. He can take care of you far better than you can take care of yourself. Trust Him. Simple faith. Now, here's the thing about faith. You can't work it up. That's why so many people have so much trouble entering into the simplicity of faith. You cannot work it up. You can't just say to yourself, okay, today I'm going to start trusting God. Some people try that. It never works. Because faith has a source. In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing of the Word of God. If I'm not hearing the Word of God on a regular basis, and I'm not talking about once a week, I'm talking about an hour a day, bare bones minimum. If I'm not hearing the Word of God, I'm not going to have faith. I can try to work it up. I can try to claim to have faith. I may have believism. Satan believes also. The devils believe and tremble. But I'm not going to have faith. I'm not going to have that frame of reference that comes through the Word of God, where the Word of God is my frame of reference. You see, that's why faith comes by hearing. I know what Hebrews 11:1 says, okay? I understand. Assurance of things hoped for, yes, I get it. Conviction of realities not seen, yes, I get it. But you're not going to get that in and of itself as something you work up. You will only get that when the Word of God is in your frame of reference. When you think with God, with the Word of God, then you are operating in faith. It's simple. Don't try to think with things outside of what he said. Don't try to think with things according to the way they appear. Oh, by the way, Eve, that was a mistake. Don't try to do it on your own apart from the things he's given you to think with. Because you don't know what he knows. You don't know truth apart from the source of truth. You see, if I lose the simplicity of the gospel, everything will be so complicated and I'll never know my way about anything. Sometimes people say to themselves, well, I have to make a choice. I have to make a decision. I need to know this or that. Why won't God tell me? Because not everything is a two-proposal situation. Sometimes the answer to my question as to what decision to make is to simply trust. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 tell us that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and He'll direct your path. What about not trusting Him, leaning on your own understanding is going to lead Him to directing your path? If you don't know the answer, the solution is to trust. And if you trust, then you'll have the capacity to say, God, I need you to help me. Don't expect a voice, expect a result. It's very simple. Sometimes people want to hear a voice so that they then know how to navigate a complex situation. How about just letting God level your mountains? That's much easier. It's a simple faith. In Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The gospel says that Christ died for our sins. The gospel says that all of our sins have been removed in Revelation 1:5. Yet people still say, but I sin, and my sin separates me from the love of Christ. That's what Adam and Eve thought when they sinned. In 1 Timothy 1:15, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul made an amazing confession. He said, of whom I am the chief. This is the Apostle Paul. I'm the chief of sinners. Tell me, what about you being a sinner separates you from the love of God when the chief of sinners said, Jesus came to take away sins? What about you is able to overcome anything about God? How can I keep myself out of the love of God? Nothing can separate me from His love. It's that simple. People get so afraid, people get insecure, people get frustrated, people get worried, people get wounded, because they think something can separate them from the love of God. But reality is, nothing can separate you from the love of God. There's no person, there's no supernatural angel or demon or anything like that that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can. No circumstance, nothing about you can separate you from the love of God. If in Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, God commends his love, sunesthesin in the original language, puts you and love together into one entity, what can separate you from who you are? You can't lose the love of God. Don't complicate it by bringing self into the issue. You can't lose the love of God. Oh, but you don't know what I'm like. God does, and you can't lose the love of God. Don't worry if I know what you're like. It's not my love you can't lose. It's God's love you can't lose. It's not my love you're after. It's God's love you're after. You can't lose the love of God. In Ephesians 2:15 and 16, we become one new man with Christ. How can you lose the love of God? It's not even remotely possible to lose the love of God. And once you are one new man with Christ, once you are one person with the love of God in Romans 5:8, then living in love is very simple. Then loving your neighbor is very simple. Then the great commandment, love one another as I have loved you, that's very simple. It's just being who you are. Because you're already one with him. Don't complicate it. It's a simple gospel. In Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Well, how do you do that? In 1 John 4:19, you got it from him. He gave it to you. You received it. You love him because he first loved us. When did he do that? When he made you to be one with love. And then it continues in verse 38. This is the great and first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You just express who you are in Christ. Not who you are in your old sin nature. That's not actually who you are. When a person lives in their old sin nature, they're trying to crucify Christ and resurrect Adam. But you know what? It doesn't go well. The fact of the matter is, in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with him because I was on the cross with him in Ephesians 2:15 and 16. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not my life, it's his. It's not my love, it's his. It's not my hope, it's his. It's not my faith, it's his. That's the simple gospel. You don't have to strive. You don't have to try. You don't have to worry. You just receive. That is the end of it. And once you've received, responding will come on its own. You just receive. In 1 Corinthians 13:1, it doesn't much matter who you are or what you possess. It doesn't much matter what you can do. Even if these are things you do for God, unless you receive the love of God, they're completely meaningless. It's all about letting God love you. People say, well, we got to do all these things for God. We got to be servants. God said, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. Doesn't a friend love at all times? In Proverbs 17. Doesn't a friend love at all times? See, that's all you do. That's the simple gospel. Well, what am I going to do? How am I going to serve God? Where am I going to go? How am I going to resolve this? How shall I overcome all my insecurities, my problems? How shall I do it? Let God love you. That's it. Just let God love you. Let him love you just as you are. What does that mean? Stop putting things ahead of the love of God. Stop putting things in the way. Just accept that he loves you right where you are. That's the simple gospel. When God does the loving, love has powerful results. People are afraid, well, I'll just let God love me and then I'll just be a mess all my life. That's not how things work. In Galatians 5 and verse 6, in the B part, even if you have faith, love is required to give it energy, to give it life. So you just receive His love. Okay, you get somebody, let's say they have a family, children, spouse, job, house, mortgage, responsibilities, and maybe things are a bit tight. And they start to worry, how am I going to get through this? What are we going to do? You know what the best thing to do in a situation like that is? Let Him love you so you can trust Him. Because He will take care of all your needs. Didn't He say if He did not spare His own Son, how much more now with Him? Is He going to give you all things? You don't have to worry about that. You will have exactly what you need, exactly when you need it. That's the simple gospel. God says He has a relationship to you, even if you don't maintain your relationship to Him if you are born again. If you believe not, He will abide faithful. Because He cannot deny Himself. So even when you're struggling, He's not. Even if you're uncertain, He's not. Even if you're doubtful, He's not. You never have to be hindered by your own limitations. He has none. In Ephesians 1:6, His grace made us accepted in the Beloved. What's there to not accept? You're one new man, all sins have been removed in Revelation 1:5, out of space-time in Psalm 103:12. What's there to not accept? Well, if you knew who I am, if you knew the blood of Christ. There is, in Romans 8:1, no condemnation. When the woman who was caught in adultery and dragged before Christ by the Pharisees, who wanted to kill her for her sin, when she ended up before Christ, you know what she found out? There's no condemnation in John 8:11. He would not condemn her even when she was guilty. Instead, He removed her sin. That's the simple gospel. People waste so much time and energy and so much of their lives on things like guilt because they don't believe the simple gospel. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he's a newly made creation. Old things are passed away, all things are brand new. Not the old has been cleaned up. The old is gone, and everything is new. The simple gospel is exactly that. It's simple. When's the last time you worried? When's the last time you were anxious? When's the last time you were frustrated? When's the last time you were fearful? When's the last time you were uncertain? Don't complicate it. The simple gospel is very simple. In Jude 21, keep yourself in the love of God. And you do it not by striving, but by looking for mercy. That means you're a sinner. In the midst of your failure, look for mercy, and you'll find love. It's simple. What do you feel guilty about? He didn't condemn you. He removed your guilt. Where did you fail? He didn't say you were guilty. He said you were forgiven. He said you were restored. He said you're reconciled. And in the midst of your failure, in Jeremiah 31:3, he reveals love. It's simple. People fail and they're afraid to go to church or they're afraid to come to God. Why? Because they're not receiving the simplicity of the gospel. Even when we are dead in trespasses and sins, in Ephesians 2:5, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. It's a simple thing. He did it. You received it. You were dead in sins. He made you alive. There was no striving, no effort. It was simply receiving. And when you received, he put you into heavenly places in him. That's where you are now. There's no anxiety in that. There's no weakness in that. There's no trepidation in that. It's the reality of your position. You're priests and kings already. You're already accepted in the Beloved. You're already perfected by the blood of Christ. You're already cleansed by the Word of God. It's already finished. Now enjoy it. But if you don't enter into the simplicity of it, you'll never enjoy it. You'll think that there's still something for you to do. But there's not. It's finished. Never complicate the simple gospel. Never complicate it. Never complicate simply trusting him in every situation. Never complicate receiving the love that he has for you. Don't put stipulations on it, thinking that somehow you're not worthy. Worthy was never the issue. Just receive it. It's a very simple gospel. Our place is to believe. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me, so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."